Spectacular Diagnostics.
Hello and welcome back to the preview show. It is La Vuelta. I am delighted to be joined by James Knox, now of T-Rex Quickstep.
That's right, T-Rex Quickstep.
Currently,
and it's not James Knox, it's now James T. Knox. All right, so if we get that, let's get that in on officially.
That's there on camera now. Now, James is currently sporting a lovely little look behind him of a tiled floral display, let's call it that.
Yeah, I think it's quite the traditional Portuguese thing, isn't it? They do these blue painted white tiles, but this is just a bed board that they've done in the design anyway. So that's our theme of the room.
Beautiful. Right, okay. La Vuelta. We're going to take a look at the stages and then a little chat about what's happening. So we have 21 stages, of course, and we start off, as you are just now, in Portugal. We will be starting with a individual time trial, which is 12 kilometres, basically along a big sort of highway, dual carriageway. I've had a look at it today. It looks absolutely fucking awful. Have you had a little look yet?
Yeah, we rode it yesterday. There's not much to see. I mean, the little beaches and stuff, the sea's quite nice. But yeah, we start off in a very nice sort of historical part downtown of Lisbon with a big cathedral and stuff. But yeah, we just ride along a main road by the beach, basically all straight, winds along. I don't even remember the kickers at the end, but the kicker in the middle there, I sort of remember that. And that's about it. Yeah, there's not much to say.
And there's a big, strong crosswind. The wind's coming from the north. Tomorrow it's meant to be about 30 k's per hour. Do you feel it? I know there's some sort of buildings on the right-hand side along the route, but some of it does look a little bit sort of exposed.
It felt, when we did it yesterday, it felt very fast. It felt like if the wind was coming from the north, that felt sheltered. It felt like it was more coming off the sea and coming behind us, to be honest.
Okay, good to know, because some people have decided to go out nice and early tomorrow. Jay Vine is out really early, but nice to see that T-Rex Quickstep are saving their best rider for last.
Yeah, nerve-wracking that. I want my fourth last or something.
The T-Knox is out, and he's going to be chased by, like, McNulty or Van Aert.
Yeah.
What's the plan?
Getting serious now, isn't it?
Are you going to try and, like, just go steady so you finish, like, you're the last man to cross the line? That'll be
touch and go with the time limit, I reckon. So we won't be playing any of those games. We'll just try and not get caught. I've got Rivera behind me, so as long as I don't get caught, I've got Teo in front of me. If I catch Teo, there needs to be fireworks going off and stuff like that. There needs to be bloody dinosaurs coming out of the bushes and all this kind of stuff. So
now, it starts quite late. It's, like, 7:15 or something. You don't have a very good track record when it comes to late time trials at the Vuelta.
You want not? Oh, Denver. Yeah. Bloody, I mean, with the last year.
Team time trial.
Yeah.
Quick step with the last team out in the darkness.
It won't be that bad, surely.
No, it's going to be nice and sunny, so you'll be absolutely fine. However, I do want you to go into the misery of that day for a moment. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you punctured or something like really early, didn't you?
Yeah, I punctured after like probably 300 metres and I was just 400 metres. I think, yeah, I punctured after maybe 400 metres going. We went through a roundabout, I punctured. And then the first corner, I heard the wheel pop, but I was screaming. I thought it was Peter Seri. So I was shouting at Seri, "You punctured." And then I looked down and it was me. And then anyway, so I changed and then I did the whole TTT on my own. But I was riding around in the dark on my own. There was pedestrians out in the road. I was having to get the cars to turn the lights on so I could see anything. It was terrible. Yeah, it was honestly, it was a nightmare. Because I was terrified of the time cut, you see, because I was on my own for like 95% of it. It was a bit of an experience.
Fingers crossed this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so stage one, Talon wins it, doesn't he?
Talon versus Van Aert or Affini. There's a few big boys, isn't there? So Affini, I think it should suit Affini and Van Aert. Obviously, Askren's very motivated for us. And Talon will be the favourite, you'd expect.
Vine, McNulty, these UEU boys are doing well in the...
Yeah.
But I'm saying Talon.
Yeah.
Stage two. One of very, very few sprints, I would imagine. Still in Portugal.
Yeah.
Like a little bit hilly, nothing too ridiculous. What is it overall? Well, it's actually 2,800 meters of climbing, which is it's not to be sniffed at, but that's going to be a
no.
sprint.
Yeah.
Sprinters wise, you guys don't really have a sprinter, do you?
No, not really. I mean, we have Pedersen, who has a bit of a kick, but he's not a world class bunch sprinter against the likes of Van Aert. And but who is Van Aert? Is Cocquart here?
Groves.
Groves, yes. So they will be the big three. Then other guys like Corbin Strong, and yeah, it'll be a mixed bag, won't it?
Yeah, and as I said, there's not going to be too many sprint stages. I think I count potentially four. And
Yeah.
Then in the first week, and they might not all come down to a sprint. If Van Aert will be trying to stay close
yeah,
to
Van Aert
traveling.
And Groves, you think their teams will be motivated if they want to sprint?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah, they can
definitely.
survive those lumpy stuff anyway, so it suits them.
Alpecin will be, I think, their full focus to try and win one or two stages with Groves.
Yeah.
So they'll be super keen on keeping it together. The kickers at the end, I mean, it's nothing outrageous, like 2.2k, 6.6%. I think Van Aert's goal in the time trial will be to try and, well, to win. But if he doesn't win, stay as close as possible to Tarlin, because there's 10 bonus seconds on the line. And he could potentially move into red either stage two or stage three. Stage three, probably an easier stage. Big sort of cat two in the middle, but pretty flat. So
yeah.
Another sprint. And I suppose for you guys, it's just about keeping Landa safe.
Yep.
The main man, Landismo, is free.
Yes.
Right, stage four. We jump over into Spain and we finish at Pico Villuercas, which is they've classified the climbs kind of really long. So 17K, 5.8%. But really, that's very steady. You've got a 2.4K section at almost 14%,
oof,
which finishes
that's
at
serious.
2K to go.
Okay.
So that should be GC day number one.
Yeah,
And
no doubt about it.
Usually in
But
the
that
bonus,
could even be a breakaway day also.
Could be, but couple of climbs early on, we'll see who wants to control the takeaway. People will look at Bora, they'll look at UAE.
Yeah, but I mean, by all means, these first days in a Grand Tour, sometimes there's no one concrete's got the jersey, or the team that has the jersey has got it because of sprints and stuff, and they're not so eager. That was, you know, that could sort of go either way, couldn't it? I can see sort of them letting that have enough 5 minutes there by the time you still get to the 2K steep bit and they survive it, sort of thing.
Yeah, and one thing to point out is that right here, it's saying it's going to be 38 degrees.
Jeez.
Jeez,
this is what scares me, to be honest. This first 10 days, I'm scared for it, the heat.
I'm scared for the race to actually go ahead as scheduled. We'll get to that in a minute. Right, stage five. Stage five, we head down south towards Seville, finishing in Seville. Seville, one of the hottest cities in Europe. Thankfully, it's not in the 40s. The temperature's dipped a little bit, or it will dip a little bit in the next couple of days, down to about 35, which is still obviously roasting hot, but race should be safe at 35 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
This part of the world is wide open once you head south, and there is a little bit of wind, but it doesn't look strong enough at this point, but you never know, it could pick up. But that would, again, normally be sprint, and I think that's the stage with the lowest climbing elevation, only 2,000 metres.
Yeah.
Stage six, we hit breakaway territory. Yep. So, Cat 1 climb, relatively early, an uphill finish, which is near 10K at 4%. So, sprinters, even your Groves and your Van Aerts, nobody's riding all day for that finish. It's going to be the first of many breakaway days.
Yeah.
You guys have any freedom? What do you think? Will it be all for Landa, or do you think you guys will
We haven't had like a real big sit down meeting, talk it all over, but I don't know what we'll do. Maybe in the, I wouldn't be surprised. I would sort of imagine that we'd sort of keep, maybe this is what, stage six already? I think we might be a bit more reserved here. Keep him safe, keep him up there, keep him in the battle. And then we'll sort of get towards that first rest day and take a proper think about how he's going and what our breakaway options are. But this will be like sort of the first one of those days. So I'm not sure, to be honest. We might, you know, I think Mowry would be our best option for a day like today, of a today like that.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be sort of day by day discussion, or maybe get Lander through the first rest day and then see where we go.
Yeah. Okay, right. Stage seven. Now, this is similar to the stage that Magnus Cort won the sprint ahead of Bagioli.
Is it the same climb?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
So the Alto del 14%.
Yes.
But it's lovely, it's what it's called. But it's a bit disingenuous, really. Okay, the end of the climb is where you get the steep section. It's 1.3, 1.4 at 10.3%. Overall, yeah, it's under 7K at under 6%. It crests with 26K to go. Last time, I think the group was about 40.
Well, that was one of the hottest days I've ever had on a bike, I think, that one. That was an absolute stinker of a day. That was like 40 degrees, wasn't it? I mean, Garmin temperatures are always a bit misleading, but that was stifling hot, yeah.
And again, it's going to be 37, 38 on the prediction here, and in the sunshine, without any shade, it's going to feel a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose the two fastest sprinters here are Van Aert and Groves, and both of those guys would back themselves to finish, get over this climb. If Magnus Cort can do it last year.
Yeah.
So I think
was it not even, I think last time when we raced there in 2021, there was attacks on the climbs and it came back together. There was a strong move because they caught them not so, it was only like 5K to go. They got caught, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but I remember something.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. And Peloton chased pretty hard.
Yes. And yes.
Cort nailed it. So that's into, what's that?
It was the lead out from Kukulair. Do you remember that? They launched a lead out from sort of further back in the group. It was a really like nice textbook finish.
Yeah, they gapped everybody apart from Bagioli, I think, in the lead out.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And that is finishing in Cordoba, and Cordoba is statistically the hottest city in the whole of Europe.
That's right. That's right. I've heard that one.
Stinking hot.
Yes.
And we're still first week, you know, it's on the temperature gauge here, it's saying 39.3 at the finish.
Yeah. Not Scottish temperatures, is it?
Or Cumbrian temperatures.
No, it's not. Jesus.
Stage eight. So it's a Saturday, weekend stage, lots of people watching. Final climb isn't that hard. So you're talking 4.5 at 7.3%.
Yeah.
Very unlikely GC teams will ride for this, would you think?
Doesn't look like it, does it?
However, one of the tricks that Visma used to play, or Jumbo used to play when it was Roglic, if Roglic is in good form, we'll have to wait and see. This is a very easy win for him.
Yeah.
So it's a relatively easy stage to control. So that would be the one thing in my mind, is that if Roglic has got good legs, Bora can control this and set him up for his standard Vuelta stage win here.
Potentially silly thing to say, but we haven't seen him with that sort of same last kilometer punch for a while, at least a year. I haven't seen it at all, really, this year. I don't remember last welter him putting it on show. I might be wrong. Am I wrong there? Am I getting mistaken? But yeah, like 2-3 years ago, he would just walk all over these, wouldn't he?
I mean, even like in Paris-Nice and Dauphiné and stuff, if it was a 1 kilometer 6% finish, he's beaten sprinters.
Yeah, right.
It's been a while since he's, I suppose, all the injuries and crashes.
Yes, yes.
And last year he had to fight his own teammates as well.
Yeah.
Right, stage nine. This is, without doubt, I think my favourite stage of the race. Get ready.
Funny you should say that, because I'm thinking the opposite.
Get ready for the horror.
Yeah.
So, first and foremost, we are in Granada, or we're up in the Sierra Nevadas. We've got to take on El Puche first, which is this little climb here. When I say little, 6.2% at 9.4%. And then at Hazelanus.
Yes.
Hazelanus is
I'll be honest.
7K at 9.5%, which is just ridiculously difficult. Back down,
Yes.
loop around, back up
Yes.
Hazelanus, big descent down into the finish in Granada. The descent, if I remember correctly, from Andalusia races is that it's a nice descent. It's super fast, nice
Well, I
road.
think we'll be on the big main road, won't we?
Yeah, big, big,
It's funny
big
because
game.
most of the peloton knows these roads. I mean, I've done a couple of training camps in Sierra Nevada. The Vuelta was up there, up Havaianas for the finish in 2022 when Timon Arensman won. And then they were carried on the sort of flattish main road to go up to Sierra Nevada, the ski station, whatever it's called, Pratigliano. I mean, it's going to be a very difficult day. And it's a climb that you don't even have to go hard on to explode the race. It's just like every man standing sort of thing. You have to ride your own tempo almost up there. It's brutal.
Yeah, and they're staying away from the high altitude, although it is Sierra Nevada. It's the highest point's 1,660, so it's not high altitude, it's just bloody hard.
It's just very, very, yeah, it's a very hard climb.
And this will be the day. I know stage four, you'll see a kind of a little look at who's going well, but this is the day you'll start to see who's going to be fighting for the jersey. Roglic, Almeida, Adam Yates potentially, Sepkus, Skelmoser, Landa. What's the vibe in the team just now? How's Landa feeling?
I think he has his own couple of question marks after the tour, how he's going to be. But I won't be surprised if that's for a lot of riders, to be honest. I think it's not like, I don't think anyone's been able to sort of walk into this from feeling good from the tour. Everyone had been tired, so
Yeah, they all had a disaster in San Sebastian as well.
yeah, exactly. Sort of demonstrated. I think that was clear that because none of the Tour de France riders were up there, were they, in San Sebastian?
No, they were
No.
awful.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think it could be a case of this is a little bit my idea when I said like get him through the first few days or whatever. Because if we get him through to this sort of think as this is our first big goal and we can nurse him through to this stage, and I think by stage nine he'll be into the race by this point. I think his legs are only going to get better from the tour,
Yeah.
but he might not hit the ground running. But that's probably true for quite a few of those guys. Maybe you've got someone like Skelmoser who's going to hit the ground absolutely flying. Maybe look like he's the man to beat, but then everyone comes sort of crawling back as it gets harder and harder and they get into it. So
Yeah,
yeah.
that's
And
a good.
Landers, he's super relaxed anyway, so it's hard to tell with him. He doesn't really give much away and he's very chill. So
Yeah, that's a
he's good
good
to have
point.
around.
It's a good point about, to this point, the races. There aren't really, there's a semi GC day on stage four, but a good chance to get the riders going again after the tour. Ready for, from this point onwards, the race is pretty hard, but the first week is relatively straightforward, apart from probably the heat. Right. Then it's a jump in a plane and escaping to the northwest up to Galicia, where you will be hoping for cooler temperatures.
10 degrees in rain, apparently. No, I'm joking.
And this is when basically the sprinters are no more.
Yeah, these are all, yeah.
It wouldn't be a surprise to see a few of these fast guys just head home 1 week, done, off a go.
Yeah, true. I've not thought of that, but yeah, true.
Galicia is just it's a bit of a horrible place to ride a bike in terms of the fact it's constantly up and down, very
Yeah.
reminiscent of Scotland or Cumbria is
It's
green.
beautiful. It's beautiful. It's green. It's lush. This looks very much like the last stage we did in 2021 in terms of that little bit on the coast there. Could be even similar roads,
Yeah.
where Miguel Angel Lopez climbed off. But yeah. Already, that's a tricky day after a rest day. Fly rest day. It won't
Yeah.
be easy, but it's still on it, so
Big old climb at the
we'll
start as
imagine.
well. So this is 100% breakaway stage, yeah. There's going to be quite a
Yeah,
few of them over the next little while. Right, if I just need to get rid of this little stupid bloody thing on my screen. Right,
you
next.
Had a family holiday. You see that Moana there on the map? I don't know if you saw that.
Let me see. Stage 10.
Above Vigo, on the other side of the river.
Oh, yeah, Moana.
Yeah, we had a family holiday there about bloody 15 years ago, it would be. 14, 12 years ago. Randomly.
What's it like up there?
Yeah, it's nice. We were going down to the beaches on the peninsula and fresh mussels from the bay. It's lovely.
Very nice.
We'd have had our bikes. We'd have been potting around. I'd have been about 14 and my brother been about 15, 16, something like that. Yeah, it was a good holiday.
Okay. Next stage. Hey. Stage 11. Love the look of this one. Absolutely brilliant. Final climb. 2.6% at 2.6k at 9.3%.
Yeah.
Two ascents of this steepled Cat 2 as well. The start of it again, 2k, 10%. What a beautiful breakaway stage that is.
Yeah.
12. No
That's
cat.
got one of those.
No,
it's like
no.
A, it's like. It looks like a classic breakaway stage where you've got the brakes 11 minutes up the road. You can watch them fight it out and race, and then you go back to the GC riders and they're attacking each other afterwards as well.
Yeah. 12 is bizarre by Vuelta standards in that there isn't a categorised climb until the very end.
Okay.
But it's now, historically, Vuelta always have one of those stages. It's pan flat, big mountain.
Yeah.
This is not that. This
yeah,
is
interesting.
Constant elevation. It's only 137k. I think they're hoping something happens here. But without a kind of longer climb for it to happen, I just don't see it. So it's a weirdly designed stage. Again, it's big old long climb to finish, but from a GC point of view, it's pretty straightforward and easy. It's 16k at 4.8%. It's a weird one. I don't often see stages like this.
Neither.
So again, it looks like a nailed on breakaway stage. 13 is Puerto de Ancares, which Contador, I think, was the last rider to win here, and Perito won not that long before. And it is classic Perito territory, 4.9k at basically 12%. That is the Vuelta. If I could put the Vuelta into one stage from like having watched it for many, many years, that climb there is Vuelta.
Yeah, that looks tough, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that hopefully there's been so many breakaway stages. I would be hoping that it's a GC day.
Yeah.
And again, it favours. It's not a Tour de France climb. It's not a 10k 8%. It's a punch. You need to have explosivity to be able to do this. That's where I probably fear a bit for Almeida, former teammate of yours, over like a Roglic or an Adam Yates. In my head, both of them are more explosive, but Almeida's
can
climbing
do it though.
very well.
You can do it though. I don't know with Joao. I mean, I've seen him do shorter climbs pretty well. He just always likes to lose 30 meters and then come back, doesn't he? It doesn't matter what pace they go, mate. They'll just drop and then come back. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt him too much for that. I think he could, if he's got the legs, he'll be really amongst it.
Yeah, and UAE will be hoping to have both him and Yatesy nice and high so they can put pressure on Roglic.
Yes,
we mentioned Skelmoza already. This is his sort of territory for me. Crucially, he's not raced a Grand Tour yet this season. Somebody always comes to the Vuelta and it's their first Grand Tour of the season and they go really well. Horner, back in the day when he won, he was the same. Vuelta was his only race. Now, we maybe don't want to get into that too much.
Yeah.
Don't want to compare Skelmoza to Horner. That would be a bad comparison for the lad. Right, stage 14. Yet again, I'm going to say a breakaway stage. Big long Cat 1 climb, 22k at 4.5%. Crest with 16k to go. breakaway stage. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think so, wouldn't you?
There was a little question in your head there.
Well, it's still a breakaway stage, but you'd think maybe a GC team could take it on, but they'd be taking it on behind, wouldn't they? They're not going to go all day for that.
No, definitely not. Right, stage 15. Oh, yes. So you see, when I see red, I like it. When you see the red...
I don't mind it. It's all right. it's what we're here for.
So stage 15 is Kutu Negru, which I think...
Oh, this is famous. This is famous, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, it was last in the race, I think, way back kind of 2005 or something. It was Roberto Heras.
Okay.
One here. It is 3K at 13% to finish off. And it actually translates to black skin.
Kutu Negru. What is it, like Galician or Asturian dialect or something?
Yeah, it must be. But it's just super, super steep, super hard. Again, it's a long, like one of the stages earlier on, there's a long section of climbing before you even get to the difficult bit. It's 15K at 6%.
Yeah.
Then it's 3K at 13% on the end of that.
Oh, yeah, it's a big dog, that, isn't it? Yeah. And we're writing that. I recognise those names. We're right in the heartland of those Asturian climbs there, aren't we?
Yeah. So it's just, this is big, big, big GC day. Stage 16. So that's rest days after 15. Then, so staying up in the north of Spain, still staying up there.
Yeah.
And then it's Covadonga.
Yes.
Which last time was climbed by the men was...
I made a mistake here in my head. I thought it was, we did this one and then it was a rest day. Okay. So we do rest day and then we start with this one.
I'm pretty sure. Let me just double check it.
Yeah, you'll be right. I think that's correct, 16.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Where are we? There we go. So it's Covadonga. So last time we were here for the men, it was Roglic who produced one of the best climbing performances. Probably of that era, because all the best climbing performances have just happened at the Tour de France for the last 10 years. But
yeah, that was a brutal stage. It just blew the race apart on that climb before. I remember that.
Went early. I mean, I can't remember which one this is, but I think it's probably going
we
to be.
We did that lap, mate. We did that big circle. I'm almost certain.
Yeah. I think it probably looks the same.
Looks the same parkour.
Yeah.
I remember we did a big lollipop. We had to come back down to the road and then go off and do Covadonga, so that looks remarkably similar to what we did.
Yeah, and it was Roglic and
Egan.
Memory plays me up there.
Bernal,
who it was, yeah. And then Roglic dropped him and absolutely smashed it all the way to the top, and he was incredible that day. So final week starts with a bang, and of all the climbs throughout the race, this is the, for most people, this is the big one. This is the most well-known. Big GC day.
Yep.
Then we get stage 17. Now, it's 142K. If a couple of sprinters have lasted to this point, they might think, yes, it's nice and flat towards the end, but realistically, I don't think they've got a chance, because you've got 2.5K at 14.3%. Bloody hell indeed. Followed by 7.5K at 6.2%.
Yeah, that's a tricky stage, that, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's short as well. So, I mean, from halfway through the stage, you get this sort of climbing section. So anything could really happen. But I doubt very much it's coming back for a sprint at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, that little 14% climb is potentially...
Is that a famous climb? Is that steep one a famous climb? Do you know? It's not one of these ones we've done summit finishes on or anything, is it? Like one of these?
No, I don't think so. Let me double check where we're at.
I was just wondering if it was one of those like Lost Machucos or whatever it was, something random like that. But
yeah,
I don't think it's that far over west. No, but anyway,
I don't think so. Right, so probably in our breakaway day, 18, another breakaway day.
Yeah.
4.4K at 8.7%. Finish tops out way from home, so probably if he wasn't riding for Roglic, it'd be a Nico Denz type. One of these, but this will be a bizarre, big, huge breakaway with some random winner. I would imagine. 19. We're getting to the end point. Alto de Moncalvillo, I think it is, which is 8.4 at 9%.
Okay.
Proper tough climb. Proper. Not one actually, yeah. Not one I know.
No.
And then 20. So I've got two favourites, the Granada stage on stage 9 and stage 20.
Yes.
Which finishes on Picon Blanco, which people will know from Vuelta Burgos. Wasn't in it this edition. I believe there's an old like army station at the top that they're demolishing.
I don't know
if
mean,
that's
I've been over it. I've been up it a couple of times. It looks like a bit of an observatory or something, but yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's a funny place because it really separates like the lush green north and the sort of barren middle of Spain. It's quite a funny divide actually on there. So like when I think when you pass over, you get into either Pay Basco or yeah, a different region. I don't know if it's Cantabria or Basque country, but yeah, one side to the other is very different, I think.
Yeah, now the reason I like this so much is these constant climbs in here. It's got ambush country written all over it. Now, it's been a very long time since we've had a big grand tour with a kind of surprising ambush situation. The one that springs to mind most is when Froome, was it Froome when Quintana and Contador did him over on a very easy looking Vuelta stage. Whoever's in the red jersey will not be sleeping easy the night before this unless they've got a big stonking lead.
Dumoulin got ambushed on something similar as well, didn't he?
Yeah, by Aru.
Yeah.
So this is a very complicated, demanding stage, and it's stage 20. Everybody's going to be absolutely finished.
And the last climb's it's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really tough climb.
It's pretty unrelenting, isn't it? It's
yeah, it is.
6.7K, 9.7%. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, this race has the credentials to be closer than the Giro and the Tour.
It surely.
Be good for the race if the gaps are relatively small and we get a race for stage 20. And then, unlucky for you, there's no easy sprint stage in Madrid to finish this year. They've decided to whack in a 24-kilometre time trial.
Bit of an anti-climax, really. If you're a rider, that is. If you're a rider and you just want to enjoy the last day of a Grand Tour.
Yeah. So same as happened in the Tour this year. We finish with a time trial. If it's close on GC, brilliant. If it's not close on GC, pointless waste of time.
Yeah. I think it could be close on GC, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised if it's a tight race, to be honest.
I mean, getting onto that, I think there's every chance it's going to be a tight race because it's such a ridiculously hard race.
Exactly. Also, yeah.
We've got 61,522 meters of climbing over the 21 stages, which is significantly, significantly harder than the Tour de France and the Giro.
Is that significantly harder than what they normally do in the Vuelta? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. I don't know the figures off the top of my head, but this is definitely much, much harder than previous years. For me, it's this middle section.
Yeah.
Once you get
my
to
knee,
get,
my knees aching just thinking about it, mate. So
once you get we'll to Granada, once you get to stage 9, almost every single stage afterwards is 3,000 meters or more.
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah,
it's absolutely insane. And quite often when the organizers make a race so hard, it results in everybody being shit scared and just riding defensively.
Yeah, I think the same thing will happen. I think a lot of people are going to wait for like Covadonga onwards almost.
Yeah.
You know, like not make any big ballsy moves anyway. I mean, there's a lot to lose, isn't there? I mean, we've seen it before in Grand Tours when, you know, the best climber for the first half of the race isn't the best climber for the second half of the race. So I won't be surprised if guys are going to try and hold back and, do damage where it matters in the end. So I don't know. I think it's just a strange race, isn't it, as well, where they've made it so hard that there's the potential there that we get like the, we know who the five or so best breakaway riders are, and we know who the five or so best GC guys are after a week, and then that sort of settle into that almost, because yeah, so it's such a difficult, demanding parkour that we could see a lot of repeated winners.
I mean, I count four sprints, which are over by stage seven.
Yeah.
So you've got 14, you've got 2 weeks worth of racing, 14 stages where there's not going to be a sprint finish. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I count 8 definite breakaway stages. And then some of the mountaintop finishes will go the way of the breakaways too. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 proper mountaintop finishes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm all for climbs. I'm all for watching you guys suffer, but the balance isn't right in this race.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. Just for the sake of the race, you know, you want the racing to be as exciting as possible, but you also want to see some sprints. You also want to see the GC guys go all in on the GC days and that type of riding, don't you? So
yeah. And I think you're probably right. Riders will be looking, right, I'll save energy. Stage 9 is a big one, so that's where I need to be good. Stage 13, and then final week, probably including the Kutu Negru climb as well.
I mean, the joker in the pack could be UAE, really. They could turn it into something else if they're going, right, our whole sort of race plan here is we're just going to send off fireworks because we got the guys, we've got a whole team that's very strong. We don't really want to come here and pull, but we just want to make everyone's life hard. We want to put guys in on the front, on the front foot, on the attack. Every time we get a chance, then that could be one of the few things that really shakes it up for a sort of a racing perspective.
Yeah, and they're coming, obviously. They won the Giro, they won the Tour.
Yep.
They want to replicate what Visma did the previous year.
I mean, I thought last year was bad when Jumbo had their T-shirts of all three, but the UAE had the T-shirt of all two already before we even started. So the showboating's going, isn't it?
And
here we go. We've got the T-Rex. They've got the bloody...
Well, they don't have the big T-Rex with them, thankfully. He's been left behind.
We've got a pickup truck with the T-Rex hanging on the back of it as well, so we'll see how that goes.
And we were chatting before this started about people being annoyed about the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. Yeah,
they don't like it, do they?
I mean, I've just started. This week we're watching Jurassic Park again, so like I'm well up for it.
Yeah. It's. I mean, there should be some Jurassic Park theme tunes going over our montages and stuff this next 3 weeks, anyway. So
what's? I think I was looking earlier. This is your, is it your 8th Grand Tour?
It's easy to count, isn't it? Because it's.
Do you even know?
It's number 8 in terms of starts, but I only finished, I started 4 Giros but finished 3, and then this is my 4th Vuelta. I think that's right.
Yeah, 19,
that's... 21, 23, 24, and then Giros were 19, 20, 21, 22.
Yeah. So, yeah. Does it get easier?
No, it gets harder, I reckon. It's getting hard. For sure it's not getting easier, that's for certain.
Well, not with this route.
No.
What's it like 3 weeks? I've heard some people say they love it because they don't have to spend any money.
That's the classic cycling one, isn't it? That's the tight cyclist. You're off away for home for a month. You don't have to spend it. I mean, I think I'm sort of settled in with my coping mechanisms now. You have to do the first part of the rest day is like not about. Don't think about it. Just think of like the 9 days there is just its own separate race. Just race that, get to the halfway point, and then you can start counting down. Don't ever start counting up. If you're at the beginning going, oh, 19 to go, 18 to go, then it's never, ever going to end. Because the first 5 days is the worst. Because you get more tired, but then by the time you get to about stage 7, you don't get any more tired. You just sort of stay on like an even keel of been fucked, basically. So you stay there for the rest of the race then.
Broken.
Well, yeah. And then the weird thing is you sort of just get on with it, even though you're tired. And then by the time you get home, then you realise how tired you are.
And last year was a weird one. Obviously, you came in with Remco as a big leader and he had a terrible day. And that would have felt a funeral. And then all of a sudden, next day he goes and wins.
Yeah, it was strange. Honestly, looking back now, I don't feel like I did anything last year because it was very much, let's stay around Remco. Let's keep him in the race. So there was a lot of like bottle duty and errand boy sort of stuff, spending energy, keeping in position, spending energy, doing stuff, and then sort of getting out of the way when the final time kicked off because I couldn't do the same sort of tempo setting as any of the Jumbo lads or whatever. And then, like you said, yeah, the sort of the first really, really big day, Remco had a bit of a disaster, which can happen. And then the rest of the days was all about getting in the breaks, but Remco was in the break every day. So I was just, oh, great, this is great for the team, but I was just sort of ambling around, looking a bit lost. So it was a strange race, but yeah, I mean, it was still good fun. I mean, what did we win? I think we won four stages, didn't we?
Yeah, something like that.
So
he absolutely dominated after, well, he dominated briefly and then crucially, the bit that I remember is when he did you over good and proper on the camera by calling you a
wanker. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone loved that one, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you over proper?
Yeah. Yeah, good fun. Good fun.
who's your DS's this race?
We've got Kaiser, Kjet van Bon and Wilfred Peters. So yeah, good mix.
Little mix of experience there.
Exactly.
Kaiser, I wonder if it is his first Grand Tour as DS.
I think it's going to be his first Grand Tour on the radio. He's done he did the Giro already this year, but he was in the car with Bramati, but Bramati was on the radio. Elio was just driving. So he's going to be on the radio. But yeah, no, we'll be great.
What do you think about going off topic, the no radios in Poland?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? My gut feeling is, this is my gut feeling, that is like, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't matter. But at some point, something will happen and then we're all going to go, well, that was fucking stupid. We all should have had radios. So it's going to be 99% of the time. You can probably say it's going to make the racing more interesting. It's going to make things more safer in terms of racing amongst each other and not, you know, not foolishly fighting and pushing forward and making the racing faster for no reason. But then an ambulance is going to be coming on the road or something like that's going to be happening. And then it's all going to, and then it's all going to be pointless. I think that's a little bit how I see it. Like, I don't know. And I just don't think there's an easy solution, mate. I don't know what you think. I mean, you've watched enough bike races. Do you think there's an easy solution?
I don't see the, I don't understand the push for no radios.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like you get it every cup. You get it once, one or two races every year anyway because the World Championships, and usually it's just fucking chaos because there isn't a radio.
Yeah.
And you're being told that number 23 is up the road and like you're meant to know who that is. So like, I don't understand why people are thinking that they need to experiment without the radio. And as you said, eventually come back to a rider safety point of view.
I mean, there must be other ways
to make it to make racing more interesting. If that's what they're trying to do.
I mean, and certainly as well, like, I don't agree that if there's a place to trial it, why Poland? You know, like if you're in a stage race, if you're going point to point, keep it simple. But if it's Montreal and Quebec and you want to give it, you know, it's a closed circuit, whatever race, they say no radios, not one person's going to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's also...
I don't understand the point, like, oh, one guy or two guys in the team will have a radio. Like,
yeah,
they're still not going to be able to easily pass on crucial bits of information. Daft things like punctures. Like what you're meant to do, you're meant to shout to the boy with the radio that you've got a puncture.
Yeah, impossible, isn't it?
Like it's silly. It's like you either go no radio or you go radios. In my mind, you stick with radios.
Yeah.
The racing this year has been absolutely phenomenal. Taking radios away ain't gonna make it better.
No. And I think the only places is like it's suitable anyways to do it, like you said, at the World Championship, but Olympic things. I mean, I could quite happily, from my point of view, if they wanted to do like Quebec, Montreal, and like a handful of the World Tour one day races as well, like that, because you know it's a sort of parkour that everyone knows, and it's just maybe finishing on laps or anything. I think that's more logical anyway for the racing style of what it's going to bring to a racing. But a Grand Tour and a 1 week race has always sort of had an element more of teams controlling, and it's like the radios aren't going to change that in a Grand Tour. Just because you take away radios in a Grand Tour doesn't mean it's going to be hell for leather every day. It's going to be, the days that are going to be raced full gas are going to stay the same, I think so.
Yeah, and what about nationals? Do you, there's no radios at nationals, is there?
No radios, no.
So you're,
I don't think so. Actually, I don't know if the, I don't know if some teams, if you have enough riders, if they can use radios, but I've never had one.
Yeah, I wonder about like if it's France or something like that, like if they're radioed up, but certainly watching the UK championships is not, there's no radios. It's okay, but
yeah,
it's a one-day race. It's, I'd say it's a closed circuit.
Yeah.
I don't see the need. Right, money where your mouth is. Putting the legend that is Mikel Landa to the side, who wins?
It's a tough call, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough call because of Roglic's back.
Yeah. I mean, history would suggest you put Roglic is going to win it, because whenever he crashes out of a Grand Tour and goes to the Vuelta, he always wins, I think. So he seems to be the outstanding choice. But I'm going to put stick my neck on the line and I'll say João.
Whoa.
You see if he can do it.
Complete the,
yeah,
the three Grand Tours.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, he's got a really good chance. I think in most people's book, he's second favourite. So, I don't know. I'm hoping it's tight. I'm hoping it goes all the way to stage 21. But it's hard to look past Primoz in my book. And then the other question is, how many stages will Van Aert win? I reckon four, at least.
I'm going to say three.
I think he's going to boss some of these. I think he can win this. What, he can win the sprints.
Yeah, he can get in the breaks.
I think he's faster than Groves. And I think he's going to go breakaway smashing.
Yeah. No, no, no. True. When you say it like that, he's got a lot of chances there, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Groves can do that as well. Don't be surprised if Groves get involved in that as well.
Yeah, Groves is really good, but he's not had the best of seasons, I don't think.
No, he's had some bad luck, hasn't he? He's had some injuries. Where's he been, actually? Do you know what race he did before this? I haven't seen him for a while.
I'm going to cheat. He did Giro, and after the Giro, that's right, they flogged him like a dead donkey and made him do three shitey little races in Belgium. Where he didn't win, but he kind of rode, he almost had like super confidence and was like too aggressive. There was one, I think, Gourmet beat him. What's that? Brussels Cycling Classic or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's not. He DNF Paris-Nice because he was injured. He did okay in the Giro, but he didn't win a stage. I don't know. But then it's a welter, so he's had probably a nice big long training block, and he's coming in nice and fresh, so you never know.
Yeah. Who are the other guys with Skelmoser who haven't done any Grand Tours or put a lot of emphasis on this? Do you reckon?
I don't think there's many others. Like Skelmoser is the obvious one, who's coming in, who's focused on the welter right from the start of the season.
Yeah.
And then planned his season around it. Now, it's interesting, he gets quite a lot of shit.
What?
From, well, you know, Twitter's for assholes, but he gets a lot of shit because people reckon he's arrogant, he's cocky. Just because, like, before races, when he's interviewed, he'll say, "Yeah, I've got great legs. I'm going to win. Well, I'm trying to win."
Yeah.
Whereas he doesn't do the usual, "Oh, day by day, we'll see how it goes." And at the start, people, I think, said, "Oh, it's refreshing," and now people say, "Oh, he's cocky, he's arrogant," which I think is really
all right to me. I mean, to be honest, mate, all Danish people are a little bit twisted on, you know, a little bit weird. So he's a very normal level of weird in terms of Danish scale. So I'd say he's perfectly, he's chatty and nice and normal to me, mate. He's friendly in the bunch. I can't say anything bad about him.
Yeah, I think he's a really good lad. I think he might be the one that takes the white jersey. He's got some serious competition. He's got Carlos Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, I forgot about him.
But then Rodriguez, it's hard to predict what he's going to do because he wasn't as good at the Tour as...
Yeah, but did he have COVID or something at the Tour? What was going on?
There was a lot of COVID in the team.
Yeah.
And then also he's never raced the Tour Vuelta double. before.
Yeah.
And he's still pretty young.
Yeah.
But also there's Utebrooks, Tiberi,
Oh, yeah.
Arensman,
Oh, yeah.
Del Toro.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
As well,
Max
who are all.
Max Poole is another dark horse he could surprise.
Max Poole, who was brilliant in Burgos. There's
yeah.
Van Eetveld.
Oh, yeah.
Otto, who's very good. Riccitiello, the little American boy from Israel. And then the boy Lipovitz from Bora.
Yep.
So White Jersey's actually
good race.
Pretty stacked this
Le
time.
Cerf.
And then. Come on, mate.
He's got a T-Rex on his jersey, though, right?
T-Rex will be about three times the size of him, surely.
Yeah, it is,
mate.
It is.
He's tiny. In terms of guys who are coming here who haven't done any other Grand Tours, the other obvious one would be Kuss.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. But I don't think that was ideal, was it? That was leaving, stopping the tour because he had COVID or whatever.
Yeah.
That was the same as me. I had COVID after Dauphiné, and it put me on my ass as well, in fairness. So wouldn't be surprised if that was what happened to him. Didn't feel great for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. But according to the bookmakers, they go Roglic, Almeida, Yates, Kuss, Mas, Landa, Carapaz, Martinez, Rodriguez, Del Toro, Teo, Skelmoza, O'Connor, Utebrooks, Arensman, Tiberi, Van Eetveld, McNulty, Gal, Riccitiello, Lipovic. So UAE. UAE are the team to make the race.
Yeah.
And then Landa. So I was looking, Landa's, he's podiumed, I think. No, he's podiumed twice the Giro. I think he's finished fourth twice at the Tour.
Yeah.
And weirdly, he's never done amazingly well in the Vuelta.
That's right. Yeah, I think he said something like that.
But
I think also he's got a nice, he's right now, he's before he starts on Saturday, he's got 7 Giros, 7 Tours, 7 Vueltas. So he's on an even keel on all three.
Well, it'd be nice to see him go. He was certainly brilliant at the Tour. He was fifth.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Riding for
he
Remco. Really
yeah.
Like,
really.
If he can find those legs again, there's every chance these short, steep climbs at the finishes suit him down to the ground. And this, once you get up to the north, the fans would go absolutely crazy.
Exactly. And I think he's already said that, hasn't he, in his press conference, that he's got like Covadonga, Picon Blanco circled out. You know, that's where that's his stomping ground. That's what he's looking forward to. So
I'm looking forward to a breakaway success from a certain James Knox.
Yeah, let's get into it. T Knox, big hands in the air, little arms in the air, should I say.
That has to be the celebration, though.
Yeah,
the celebration has to be tiny little T-Rex hands.
Yeah, we've all been doing this with our T-shirts. You know, you put your arms inside the T-shirt and you sort of walk around. So, yeah, it's hard. It's impossible with a cycling jersey, though, mate. So we'll have to see what's possible. Stu Dahl need to pay a big bonus, I'd say, if we manage to pull that one off for them.
I mean, it'd be even better than the Remco picture under the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, it'll be on a, be just as good, that.
It'll be on a bus stop somewhere in Belgium.
Yeah.
Right, James, thank you very much for this. Best
okay,
luck
thanks,
in 3 weeks.
Mate.
Save as much money
thank
as
you.
possible.
Yeah, we'll do.
And let's see if you can get Landa on the podium.
Yeah. Cheers. Full kumite, accumulate pace. First razor blade for the gate, we're moving weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might leave your mind strained. The times change, flight delay, light haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the route, the rent park is way park waves. Like moose on move raw, involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fallatio from lazy do fall to Paul Kane. But brought a broad brain with all game, you snow change. She threw like a sonic grand, probably 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, not daddy. Oh, yeah. I feel like. sunlight. Friendship is fossilized in amber. Wise commander, fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like the standard. Fellas, Aquilas, I write the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Into the Yoda Palace, it's a pagoda. So blowing haze in circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their barrio. Drama with Disco King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the peel off without watching his body fall. Porky ass in the Marico. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone, skull and bone, heron bone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud Indo, chop the rock, 16-bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. Well, now your daddy kicking at, you know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff, live out the district, shit, my nigga. Word. Woo.